Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
All right, so this scripture recently just dropped into my head out of nowhere. I was sitting in a meeting and God just dropped it straight into my head. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Someone. I don't want to be that someone that the devil devours. I don't want to be that guy. So I want to listen to Peter's warning here. What is he warning us about? And he warns us that the devil is like a roaring lion. So I thought to myself, a roaring lion. What is it about a lion that Peter thinks it's a good picture for us to see what the devil is actually like? And so this morning, I want to unpack some things about a lion, some things about the beautiful creature of the lion that actually help us understand our enemy, the devil, and some of his sneaky tactics. Is that good? Will that be helpful? So one thing I found really interesting is that lions are opportunists. Did you know that a lion actually doesn't run very fast? He's a short sprinting guy. He just does the short, quick go. So what he does, he waits. He prowls. He watches. And then as he spots the right prey, he then leaps quickly in a short space of time, leaps on them and captures his prey. He's an opportunist. He looks for the easiest one to kill. He looks for the weakest link. And so you know what? If this is who he is, what are some of the things that give a lion opportunity? What are some of the things that maybe we can find ourselves in that give our enemy, the devil, opportunity in our lives? Well, the first thing about lions that is one of their opportunity things is that they are nocturnal. So for us, we need to avoid the dark. Avoid the dark. Nocturnal creatures love the dark because they can function better in the dark. Their body is designed for the dark. Did you know that a lion can see 8 times better at night than it can during the day? They hunt at night. They function at night. And the devil loves the darkness too. The devil finds the darkness his most comfortable place to function. But you and I, every single human being, is designed to function in the light. We function in the day, we sleep in the night. That's how our natural body is designed. God has designed us for the light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5 says this: you are children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. You and I are designed to hang out in the light. So stay in the light. Oh, what does that mean, Helen? Do I just not go out after dark? You know? Like, oh, if you can't, that's it. Your social life's finished once the sun sets. In Melbourne, that would be very boring in the winter because that sun sets way too early. But what is this darkness? What is this light? You know what? For me, knowing God, knowing his love for me, knowing the good things he has for me, the darkness is when I step into a place where I hope he's not going to show up. Whether it's in my thinking, whether it's in my attitude, whether it's in my actual physical location, when I find myself there and I'm like, oh, I so hope God doesn't know I'm thinking these thoughts, that's darkness. I so hope God doesn't see what I'm doing right now, that's darkness. That's the darkness. And we're not called to live in the darkness. You know, when I was about 19 years old, 19, 20, I remember for about six months, I was just, my constant prayer was, Jesus, don't come back yet. Jesus, don't come back yet. Jesus, don't come back yet, because I knew that I was in the darkness. I knew, even though I had a faith, even though I knew God, I knew that my lifestyle, I knew that my attitude, I knew that how I was living was not really how God had called me to live. And I just had this, now I know that I'm saved by grace. I know that the reason when Jesus does come back, it's not because of my actions or behavior, but because of what he has done for me that gives me salvation. But it was like I was going to get busted naked in the spiritual realm. Like, Jesus, please, I just know that I just don't want you to see me like this. But he was there. He was seeing me like this. And Jesus was calling me back. Come on, Helen. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to live with that feeling in the body of your stomach. Get back in the light. Get out of the darkness. Jesus has called you out of the darkness. You know, we're not meant to live like we're playing Tiggy. Like, you know, Jesus' bar. Quick, run. Oh, quick, get back to Jesus. Oh, they're chasing me. Oh, no, quick, get back to Jesus. No, we're meant to just live on bar. Just stick with Jesus. Stay in the light. Because the devil's waiting to devour us in the darkness, in the place. So if your alarm bells are going off saying, oh, you know, I hope Jesus doesn't come back. Hello. Get back in the light. Get back in the light. We can find this with our friends. Friends that take our life into the darkness, that sort of try to convince us to do things we don't want to do. An intimacy that's destructive. A relationship that you just know is not what God's called you to. Wrong thinking. A mindset that you know is not what God has for you, that is destructive. Maybe you're too emotionally connected to somebody at work, a colleague. You can sense that, you know what, this is filling my love bank here. This is unhealthy. This is moving me into a darkness, into a dark place. Maybe it's doing a deal, a business deal that's just a little bit close to breaking the law or your ethical standards. Just a little bit too, just be careful. Don't find yourself in the darkness. Maybe it's that small lie that seemed harmless at the time, but it just seems to be snowballing. And you just got to call it quits. You got to go, you know what? I'm done. Sorry. I told a lie at the beginning. Now I'm finished. I'm getting out of here. And we're moving forward in truth. Sometimes you just got to get out of the darkness, step into the light. Amen? You know what? When we find ourselves in the darkness, our personal radar usually lets us know. The Holy Spirit lets us know. He's like, hey, don't do that. And I know for myself that sick feeling, I can be great, everything's awesome, and then suddenly I'll do something, I'll make a decision, I'll make a statement, and bang, it's like the Holy Spirit just goes, switch, and my stomach sinks. I'm like, oh, I know. Oh, no. No, it'll go away. It wasn't that bad. It'll go away. No. Okay, I need to step back out. So trust your radar. Get out of the dark. So what else can we learn from lions? Lions smell the wounded. So smell good. Lions have a really, really powerful sense of smell. They can actually smell a wounded animal from miles and miles away. They then hunt that animal down because of the smell. So what do you smell like? Do you smell like the blood from a wounded animal? Do you smell like disappointment? Do you smell like pain? Do you smell like unforgiveness? What's going on? What smell are you giving off? What's making you bleed? Because just like a lion, the devil knows when you're bleeding. The devil knows when you're wounded and you're letting it bleed and leave a trail behind you that everybody's heard about it. Everybody knows about it. Everybody knows how bitter and hurt or what's going on in your heart. And sometimes it's not even our fault. It just happened. It's not like we're trying to create this thing. Sometimes these wounds are difficult to even heal. You know, maybe it's money. Someone ripped you off or a deal went bad. Can the enemy smell the blood from that? Maybe it's hurt or pain or a sickness. You know, so often with sickness, it's hard to grasp. Why, God? Why is this happening? Or are we saying, no, it's okay. God's got this. You know, that's good. There is a healthy vulnerability. We are designed to be honest. We do need to be open. It's okay to bleed. It's just, where are you bleeding? You know, at Lifehouse, we have a saying where we say, you should bleed up. Now, think about it for a moment. If you're bleeding, there's a thing called gravity. So your blood always falls down. So it's actually unnatural to bleed up. to actually, rather than drip and bleed on the people around us, something might have happened in your home, in your family, even in church life, stuff happens. And sometimes we can bleed on our friend, bleed over here, bleed on the girl at work, but none of those people can actually help address the wound. We need to bleed up, one, to the people above us, the people who lead us, to God Himself. Bleed up and let our wound be healthy and addressed as God has designed it to be. Jesus is our healer. He wants to take care of us. So be careful how we smell. Watch what's causing you to bleed. Lions attack the isolated, so stay with the herd. A lion will always pick an animal that is separated from its pack. Even Richard watches all these documentaries. I tried to watch some extras just for this message. It was slightly torturous, but he just would watch them for hours. So much of my information has come from short spurts of him sharing with me these amazing things. But I have noticed one thing. There's a big herd of animals and the lion will be there, like trying to, he'll get close enough. When he eventually starts to move so the animals get scared, one of them will be on the side a little bit. One of them will be running back from the others. That's the one he picks. He doesn't pick the one that's in the middle of the pack leading the way. He picks the isolated, on the edge, little bit weaker. That's the one he picks, the one that is disconnected from the pack, the one that is vulnerable. So we have to stay in the herd, stay in the pack. Psalm 92, 13 and 14 says this, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Now, I want that to be me. If you stay in the pack, I want to stay strong. I want to stay healthy. I want to grow old in the pack. I want to be the oldest one in that herd. I want to be strong and healthy. And you know what? The church, this faith community, is our herd. The herd gives us lots of really good things. We get to celebrate together. We get to build good relationships. All the single people get to find their life partner right here in the herd. Amen. Did I hear a big amen? Lord, may they be in the house, Father. May they not have to go anywhere else. Right here, Lord. Bring them in, Father. Amen. Amen. We get people excited. You know, we're excited for one another. When you're winning, I'm winning. When you're celebrating, I'm celebrating. There's so much fun in the pack. It's great to be in a community, a body of faith. But you know what? Tough times come. Every single one of us experiences tough times, hard times. But it's in the herd that there is protection. It's in the herd that there's comfort. It's in the herd that there's support. That there are people who can guard us and come around us and just shield us from some whatever's going on. That it's in the herd that we can flourish and have a great time. And it's in the herd that we are cared for. Come on, give God some praise for that this morning. You know, we got beautiful Madeline Eliopoulos in hospital. She's been there, I think, 10 days now in intensive care. And we've been in there to pray for her a few times. And I've got to tell you, it blows me away every time I go in that it's the community that are around her. It's her family's there, her mum's there, her dad's there, her sisters. It's Gina, do you need anything? No. It's all good. We've got meals coming. We've had so many people come and pray for us. 9 different pastors have been and laid hands and prayed for healing. We've got such a support network. I put it on the Flourish prayer chain this week. And instantly everybody's like praying. And I added Gina to that feed and she was just like, wow. I'm so encouraged to know so many people are praying for my daughter. I don't need them all in the room. I don't need to have a conversation with them. But that's the herd. That's the herd. Stay in the herd. The herd is amazing. That's the power of a life group, a small group. This week in my life group, Jenna and I started a new life group and the girls were sharing and one of the girls said to me later, you know what, I looked around that room and all those girls looked so perfect. All those girls looked like their lives were just all together. They couldn't have had a problem in the world. But as we heard every single faith story, we heard that every one of us had had a, a struggle, a difficulty, a heartache, something that had caused us to have to struggle through, but God had been there for us. And you know what? You find out that in the herd, in a small group, a place you can be honest, that you can encourage one another. Amen? Amen. This is encouraging, isn't it? These are tips for life right here. All right, the next thing, lions have super sensitive hearing. Your words are a weapon. You know, a lion can hear from 2 kilometres away. So way before they see you, they hear you. They've got these special ears. All cats have them, and dogs, many animals, we just don't. That they can turn their ear so that it becomes like a funnel to capture the sound. That's why they can hear from so, so far away. Their hearing is actually one of their greatest skills. Our words carry power. Our words, the words that we speak, are a weapon. And they can be a good weapon or a bad weapon. So we better make sure we use our words carefully, because just like a lion can hear from far away, the devil hears what we say. The enemy hears our words. We can think what we want, but he hears what we say. And when the devil hears us declaring the goodness of God, the character of God, the heart of God, the grace of God, that he is for us, not against us, he's got great plans. You know what the devil does? He flees. He cannot get far enough away from us praising our God. Our praise is the greatest defense weapon that we have. When he hears us complaining, being negative, speaking badly about other people, he's like, oh, I like the sound of that. That's the sort of sound I can work with. He leans in. But when he hears us speak of the goodness of God and the grace of God, and even though something's not going well, I know God has a plan. I know God has a way. My God is for me, not against me. He doesn't want to be there. You know what? When we speak negatively, what it says is, I don't trust you, God. I don't believe that you're for me. When we doubt, when we're like, oh, I don't know, this can't go right, God's, it's like we're saying, God, you don't have your eye on my life. You don't know what's going on. And that is why the devil listens. That's why he moves in when we speak negatively. Because what we're saying is, I'm actually not in God's hands. I'm in my own hands. So our words are very powerful. What are you saying? What words are coming out of our mouths about ourselves? How do we speak about ourselves? About other people? About our future? You know what? You and I are designed to speak words of hope. You know, we are made in the image of God, Genesis tells us. And God created the earth out of nothing by his spoken word. And that's you and I. We're made in the image of God. Our words have the power to create. Our words have the power to put into being what we're believing in our lives. We are designed to speak words of faith, words of hope, to prophesy, to speak out what we believe God has for our future. And we have to do that, because when we do, the devil flees. He can't get away fast enough. I've got to tell you, I really struggle with this, because I'm a realist. I'm a very practical person. It's like, the facts look like this, but I know God says that's what's going to happen, but what do my words say? When someone brings something to me that has hope in it, what's my response to that? And, you know, and even this week in the hospital, we're praying for complete healing. We're praying that the lump on Madeline's brainstem is removed completely. And I'm praying in faith. I'm praying. I'm there. The words are coming out. And as I walked out into the hallway, I heard heaven ask me, were they just words, Helen? Or are you activating them with faith? Do you really believe I can do that? Do you really believe? And I'm like, yes, yes, God, I do. I do believe that you can raise this girl. I do believe that you can heal her completely. I do believe that she will be able to function well in her future. But I have to speak it. I have to declare it, because I'm designed not to be a realist, although that's helpful at times, but I have to personally battle to keep speaking faith, to believing forward, to imagine for more, because God is for us and He's designed us in His image. Amen? Well, I think it's pretty obvious why Peter describes the devil as a lion. They're pretty clear, some clear things. But I think there's one more key in that scripture. And this one to me is probably the most important. And it is that lions roar. So stand your ground. You know, this a lion roaring, why does he roar? Is he just trying to make a lot of noise? What's his point? Does it mean he's about to eat you? What happens when a lion roars? Well, the whole point of a lion roaring is intimidation. Did you know that a lion, from all the lion research I've done, all the jungle activity I've had, I've tried this several times and I'm still here to tell the story. No, I'm only joking. But from what I've been told about lions is if you hear a lion roar, the idea is that the lion is trying to frighten you. He wants you to run because he will only attack you when you run. If you stand your ground and hold on to your feet and roar back, basically, he will not eat you. You won't die. Hey, little tip for you, all right? Handy tip for lion techniques. I thought you would all appreciate me telling you that, all right? Just give the person beside you a high five. I know how to survive a lion. So a lion attacks its prey on the run. All the videos you've watched, they very rarely attack an animal just standing there. They will frighten it. It'll start to run. They always go for the one that's trying to get away. So we're not meant to get away. We're meant to stand our ground. We're meant to stand firm, not to be in fear, not to be intimidated, but to hold our ground. And you know what? The devil is exactly the same. He is all raw, no bite. He's just a big, noisy, annoying voice. He has no authority, and he knows that. The devil reminds me actually of the Wizard of Oz, and I think this was probably the whole story behind that. I don't know about you, but when I was young, I am still young, when I was at home living with my mum and dad on Saturday nights watching TV, we didn't have a video recorder. We had four channels, and you just had to pick what was on them and you had to watch it when it was on. And so Saturday night was what movie's on, and The Wizard of Oz was on once a year. So I hated The Wizard of Oz. It was torture. It frightened me. It left me traumatized, but we still watched it because it was on and that's all there was. So I don't know if you've seen it, but, you know, they're all going along, all these different things, and there's, what's her name, the little girl in the dress? Oh, Dorothy, yes. Oh, so Dorothy's all happy. She's going along, tapping her little shoes. You know, Dorothy's wonderful. But there's the wizard. And the wizard's so scary. I was petrified of the wizard. I was traumatized through the whole film, waiting for the wizard to appear in his horrible voice. But the wizard was just a little old man behind a curtain. The wizard was nothing. The wizard had no authority. It was all fake. And that is what the devil is. He's just all fluff and bubble. He's actually got no authority. He's got no authority. And he tries to roar, but he wants us to step back. He wants you to withdraw from what God has told you. He wants you to feel ashamed, to feel embarrassed, to feel unworthy of what God's got for you. He wants to take God's destiny from you. He wants you to doubt that God can fulfill His promises. He roars accusations about your past. Who are you? They know where you've been. What if somebody tells them what you've done? You took yourself to that party. Nobody made you go. The devil roars these accusations at us. And he wants us to back away and run so he can devour us. But no, we're not called to do that. We're not called to do that. For me, he roars my value and my worth. He roars, who are you to get up there? There's others that are better, others more equipped. Who is, and I have to stand my ground. Just like Peter tells us, I have to stand my ground. He says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 10, he says this. He says, he gives us the wisdom for how to fight the lion. He says, be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind. Think about it for a moment. If you're sober of mind, it means you're not drunk. Now, none of you have ever been drunk, I'm sure, but I have seen drunk people, and usually they're like, yeah, mate, yeah, you know, I was so good, dancing on the table like they would never do, overconfident. And Peter's going, look, can you just keep your wits about you? All right, live life, go for it, but just stay sober. Don't just get, oh, the devil, who's the devil? He doesn't care about me. Just don't focus on him. Just keep your wits about you. Stay sharp. Be sober-minded. Don't let your guard down. Then he says, be vigilant and cautious at all times. You know, Richard, I have a little story. I have to tell a story about Richard because he's not here today. You know, when we were first married, we weren't doing what we're doing now, and I don't think he'd ever actually preached publicly. He might have in the youth or something, but just something small. But he believed he was called to preach, so he used to practice preaching in the bathroom into the mirror, and he had this big Bible, like a super Bible, you know, one of those like real Christian Bibles, you know, 6 inches thick, and he'd be there in the mirror. And I'm telling you, the Lord says, you know, whatever. He was always nice in that. He'd be like, you know, God's got a plan for your life. And anyway, so he was there in the mirror and I came down the hallway and he'd made it clear to me when we first got married, don't surprise me. Never surprise me. I don't cope well with surprises. So I come down the hall and I come into the bathroom, honey. And he turns with the Bible, no kidding. He turns and he pegs it at me. I'm not joking. Smashes me in the face. I'm like, what? What was that for? Because I told you, don't surprise me. I'm like, oh, I didn't surprise you. I just came up the hall. Well, he'd grown up in a milk bar where every day when they locked that door and went to bed, he lived with a crowbar under his bed. His dad had a baseball bat under his bed. They were constantly on edge for a robber, a thief, someone coming. And you know what? It sort of made him probably a little bit too edgy. I think we've worn some of that off. So I'm not saying we should be like that. That's extreme. But come on. Let's keep our guard up. Let's keep our wisdom about us. Let's not find ourselves in the darkness because we get a bit too relaxed. Verse 9, withstand him, be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. I like that. It's like the picture of a boxer. Feet planted, solid. Not like, oh, whoops. Feet planted. Hands ahead of you, guarding your face. Hands up, ready. I'm ready. I can move, I'm nimble. That's what he's saying. Be like that in the spiritual. The God of all grace, who imparts all favour and blessing, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be. Establish and ground you securely and strengthen and settle you. Stick with God. He's got it for you. Just stick with God. He's going to guard you. He's going to shield you. He'll protect you. Stick with God. There is an enemy and he is prowling, but he's looking for someone. So just don't be that someone. Position yourself so you're just not the someone. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live on edge. Jesus has won it for us. Jesus is for us. We just need to lean into God and give him all glory. We need to be confident in Jesus. Know that he is for us. You know what? I don't ever like to give the enemy attention. Even bringing this message today, I felt like, I don't want to talk about him. But I felt heaven say, expose his lies so we can focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Our roar is what keeps him away. You have to find your roar. When he comes with a roar, you have to roar back. Hold your ground and say, I will not listen to you because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. I will stand my ground and he will flee is what the word says. Our God is greater. We have all authority because of Jesus. Luke chapter 10, 19 and 20 says this. Behold, I have given you authority and power to do what? To trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. We've got it all. He has no roar. It's all fake. It's all front. His lies have no substance. Verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are in heaven. Keep in mind, the only reason you get to roar is because of Jesus. The only reason you get to roar is because he is mighty. The only reason you can stand your ground is that God is for you. He has made a way. He has already won the battle. Our roar is our thanks and our praise to God. Our roar is our declaration that Jesus is our King and Lord. We can take ground. We can hold our ground when we know that Jesus is for us. That's our roar. When you hear the devil whisper, annoy you, when you hear discouragement, hurt, pain, find your roar. Find your roar. Find your thanks. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you that it's causing me to look to you. Thank you that this struggle is causing me to humble myself. And the devil's like, what? What? You're giving God glory? Yes. I am. I'm going to trust him even though it's really hard. Even though right now it looks like everything's against, I don't care because I know that he has to flee. And God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. He's going to get me through on the other side. There is hope. I know I'm the girl for the job. Whether I am or not, I am. All right? And I pray and believe there's 100 behind me, 100 beside me. You're the right one for the job. You're the right one for your marriage. Your marriage is the right marriage. Your husband, your wife are amazing. Your partner is out there, your future husband and wife. Your children are going to live for God. They are going to love God. God has a plan. God has good things. Don't let the enemy rob you. Amen? You know, I want to finish up with Psalm 91. Psalm 91 says this. So perfect. Have we got it there? Come on, let's read this with me together because we're talking about lions, yeah? Read it together. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. And then this is what God says. God's the one. He tramples it for us. And then he says this, because he loves me. He's talking about you and I. This is his promise for us. Because, let's read it together, but put your name in the he. Put your name there for me today. Because Helen loves me, says the Lord. I will rescue Helen. I will protect her, for she acknowledges my name. She will call on me and I will answer. I will be with her in trouble and I will deliver her and honor her. I love that. The name, the power, the roar. When I roar, Jesus, comes in, guards, protects, shields. How good is that, hey? Come on, why don't you hop to your feet?
Hi, I'm Richard Gabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.